Good to see everyone. We're thrilled to have visitors with us this morning. We have a few of our numbers missing. It's what happens in the summertime, lots of vacations and going different places. Was everybody got their sword with them? Does everyone know how to use their sword correctly? We're working on it, aren't we? There's always improvement to be made. And as you could tell this morning in Maverick's reading, and I thank him for that, he's been interested in swords, he said, for most of his life. He studies medieval swords and the different types of swords and their and what they do, what they're supposed to do, and how they use them. Some of them are double-handed swords. You have to put both hands on. They're so big, you know, and you use those for really, you can't maneuver them maybe as good, but they certainly, whatever they hit, will do the job. And then there's other swords that are very, you finesse and you learn to. So anyway, that's kind of what we're going to be talking about this morning, is how to handle the word of truth. And of course, most of them here know that the text scripture for that is my favorite verse in the Bible is 2 Timothy 2:15. I learned that as a youth. My dad quoted that many times, and I learned that probably one of the first verses that I learned, and one of them that I can still remember pretty well, but I know it in the Old King James. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, there are three prominent phrases in this important verse. The first phrase is, and I'm going to quote it in the King James Version, but then we're going to look at the other versions too. The first phrase is, study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, in the New King James and the New American Standard Version, it says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God. And in the New Revised Standard Version and the NIV and the ESV, it says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by Him. So those are very similar, but it gives us a little different slant on the wording. But in other words, as Christians, we are to strive to conduct ourselves in such a manner that we will be an approved worker of God. And that's what we're striving for. And of course, it's not all about us. It's about His grace and, of course, His Son's atoning sacrifice that He gave for us, that we can even do this at all. The second phrase is, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Now, in the other translations, it's a somewhat different from that, but most of the other versions translate it, and it appears that we could say it is an approved worker does not need to be ashamed before God or man. I think we could each one agree that that's pretty much what that phrase. Then we come to the third phrase, which is really the topic of our lesson today. And that is in the King James Version and in the New King James Version, they're both alike, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now in the ESV, the English Standard Version, it's rightly handling the word of truth. In the New Revised Standard, it's rightly explaining the word of truth. In the NIV, it is correctly handling the word of truth. And in the New American Standard, it is accurately handling the word of truth. All very similar, but with a few little different words, and probably will help us in understanding. But, you know, this important phrase is pretty easy for us to understand, except maybe that word dividing. The word dividing. So, as we get started, let's focus on the meaning of that word dividing. And we'll look at the looking at the Greek word that it was translated from, and it was translated dividing by the King James versions. That word comes from a Greek word which is a compound word. In other words, it's made up of two smaller Greek words. And the first Greek word, and I don't even try to pronounce them for you, but it the first one means right, R-I-G-H-T. And that's right as a position. In other words, it means erect. It means honest. Or it means upright or straight. And then the second Greek word means to cut. And not just cut anyway, but especially sharply and cleanly. So rightly dividing means to sharply and cleanly dissect the Word of God. Or in the context of this instant passage that we're looking at, it is accurately and correctly expounding the divine message. Instead of wrangling about words of genealogies, of myths, and fables of Jewish traditions. So now that kind of brings us to the point of the context of this verse. Let's consider the context of Paul's instructions to Timothy that leads up and follows 2 Timothy 2:15. In the latter part of chapter 1 in 2 Timothy, verses 13 through 15, we find Paul is urging Timothy to, and I quote, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us." And then in the verse 15, he reminds Timothy about all of those Judaizing teachers in Asia who have actually turned away from Paul, the Apostle Paul, and his teaching, even denying that he was an apostle. So then in the beginning of chapter 2, which we're in, Paul then admonishes Timothy to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And there's where the sword comes in. To be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Always teaching the plain and simple truth to faithful men who can teach others also. So, not only do we need to learn how to use the sword, but we need to teach others the proper way to use the sword. And that's what Paul is trying to do with Timothy. Tell him how he should properly handle the situation that he has there at Ephesus. And you know, this is really paramount, that idea of training others to be able to teach others also. This is very paramount to the proper establishment of the church back in the first century, but also for to us today and the continual growth of the kingdom of God here on earth, of which we have a part and we have a responsibility. So we must take it seriously. And then in the 14th chapter of the second chapter and following, we find Paul is encouraging Timothy to be a diligent worker in the church, maintaining his approval before God. So he need not be ashamed of his testimony of the Lord, as was mentioned back in the first chapter in the 8th verse, and then as Paul affirmed in the 12th verse of the first chapter, he said, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." So Timothy, he's saying, as you work with the Christians at Ephesus, do your best, do the very best you can to offset that false teaching of the Judaizing troublemakers that were stirring up so much trouble. And he said, do that by correctly handling and explaining the Word of God in your teaching. And if you do that, it's going to be well-pleasing unto God, and you won't need to be ashamed. We don't ever need to be ashamed when we hold fast to the teaching of the true gospel message. And now in the 14th verse, we find Timothy, or Paul is instructing Timothy to remind the brethren of the great eternal truths of the gospel, as he just related in verses 8 through 13, and as we heard Brother Maverick read for us. That is, Christ died for our sins, but he was raised from the dead to be a very merciful mediator, living among and within each Christian. Now, don't forget, this lesson or these lessons are for us today, just like they were for Timothy back when Paul wrote them 2,000 years ago. But they're for us. And that's why we're studying about accurately and correctly handling the gospel message, because that's certainly a duty of each one of us as Christians in our different states and positions in life, to handle that word of God, to use that sword, and to use it to convert people. And so it has to be used correctly and properly. So, you know, it can be so easy, you know, to forget to focus on the fundamental basic truths of the gospel story of salvation. It can be easy for us to lose that focus and to become involved in discussions about some fine point of the law, just like the situation that Paul is warning Timothy about. And immediately following our text scripture in verse 15, when we look in verse 16, it appears that Timothy, that Paul is telling Timothy, you need to put a stop to any of these heated discussions among church leaders and members over issues of Jewish tradition. Because he's saying this type of argumentative discussion will profit no one. And even if all sides come together in perfect agreement, it's still going to be very upsetting to the faith of the new converts and of the weak members. And the same can be true today. So now let's take a look at 2 Timothy 2:15, looking at the last part of that verse. You know, this verse is really about a Christian's attitude. It's an attitude of being very diligent. That is, to be diligent means giving thoughtful considerations to the proclamation of the word of truth when we preach it to other people. Now, it may be that our approval of God, when we talk about being approved of God, that may seem kind of intangible or distant from our minds and kind of hard for us to grasp. But never forget, one day we all will be arraigned before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account. So, how important is it to have the approval of the one before whom we will stand? I would say it's pretty important, very important. Paul was telling Timothy, and he's telling us also, that if we want to avoid being ashamed on that great and notable day of the Lord, we must make it our goal to be a workman that handles aright the word of truth. In other words, every Christian must make it their goal to only be engaged in sound discussions of the inspired truths of the gospel plan of salvation. And here are just a few thoughts. And this is going to be a short lesson today, but here are a few thoughts for you to ponder and to think about. If we are going to have faith in and dependence upon the saving power of this Bible, of the sword, it is necessary to learn how to accurately handle that word of truth, this word of truth, the Bible. And I believe we can find a good comparative lesson in the words of Jesus to the Apostle Peter. And this is back in the Gospel of John in the 21st chapter in verses 15 through 17. And I'm going to read these out of the NIV. Verse 15. And when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Now, more than these could mean the other disciples, or it could mean his Jewish brethren. But he's saying, do you truly love me more than these? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then Jesus said, feed my lambs. And then in verse 16, again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, well, take care of my sheep. Now, those first two, when God was saying, using that word love, do you love me? It was talking about the agape love. But then we find in verse 17, he says the third time to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now, that word love is phileo. This is brotherly love. He's saying, do you love me with that kind of love? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. So I think the vital connection here is between our love for God and correctly teaching others. That's what he wanted Peter to do. Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep. And Paul was also wanting Timothy to properly feed those Christians that were there at Ephesus, who were in a lot of turmoil because these false teachers, these Judaizing teachers, come among them and had caused them to fall away from following Paul and trying to put Paul down and say, he's just a false apostle, don't believe him, and trying to get them to go back to the old law. And he's saying, Timothy, you need to really sharpen your sword and handle it rightly among this group of people. Because there was probably some that he needed to use the big sword on, and there was probably others he needed to be more of a finesse in the way that he taught them. So I think the ministry of Paul is a great example, and just in Paul's ministry in general is a great example of rightly dividing the word of truth. Because Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, verses 1 and 2, that because of God's mercy upon the ministry of the leaders of the early church, he said they did not lose heart. And they were not ashamed of their work. And in 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, in the NIV again, it says, rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception. We do not distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And I think that's the message he's trying to get across to Timothy, and that's the message he's trying to get across to us today. I know the old King James rendering of that first phrase, study to show thyself approved, I think this has misled many people to believe this verse was all about just about Bible study. I know I used to think it was just about studying the Bible. That was what it was all about. But, you know, Bible study is a very, very important component of being able to handle correctly the word of truth. But to make this verse the proof text for only studying the Bible, I think is to miss the overall point of Paul's teaching in this situation. In my opinion, the New King James translation uses the word be diligent. Be diligent instead of study. Just be diligent, which means give much thoughtful consideration. And I think this is a better description of a person's attitude that will lead to our service meeting God's approval. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses Hebrews, the fifth chapter, verses 11 through 14. This is a good scripture reference warning against becoming dull of hearing. And the dull is kind of, you know, we got to keep our sword sharp. I'm going to read in the ESV in this time, verses 11 through 14. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. That's what he was telling the Hebrews. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, he said, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need meat and milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But the solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So that's a lot about the use of the sword. It's the rightly dividing the word of God, handling it properly. And I think that scripture provides a good supporting testimony for our lesson in 2 Timothy 2 and 15. So in bringing my thoughts to a close, I'm going to quote 2 Timothy 2:15 from the English Standard Version, the ESV, as I feel that it probably most completely relates the essence of this grand scripture. And I quote, "Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." So, I hope this Mavericks reading and this lesson has encouraged us to get a hold of our sword, use it daily. You know, you can't just use a sword once every year or every so often. We need to daily practice it with it to sharpen it up. And then we have to have the skill or the knowledge to know how to use it, how to strike with it, how to comfort with it. You see, when we talk about a sword, it's usually talking about fighting. But in rightly dividing the word of God is not about fighting. It's pulling together. It is encouraging one another. And that's what we need to do. So I'm going to leave the lesson with you. And we're going to extend the gospel invitation. If there be any here that are subject to the gospel call, we're going to ask you to stand as we sing a number that Brother Eric's going to select for us.
Number 329.